Dear brothers and sisters, a blessed Chinese New Year to one and all. And coming to chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel, it's not coming to a new chapter, but it is a continuation from chapter 24 of what the Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples. The parable of the 10 virgins in chapter 25 is but part of the whole sermon that was preached on the Mount of Olives, or the Olivet Discourse, that commences in chapter 24, verse 3. But before the Lord Jesus Christ delivered the Olivet Discourse, it was in chapter 21 of Matthew's Gospel that the Lord entered Jerusalem for the last time. It was his last Passover celebration as a Jew. But above all, the main purpose of going into Jerusalem for the last time was to fulfill scriptures that say how he must suffer many things that will come to him from the religious leaders of Israel, and that he would be killed, and on the third day, he would rise again from the dead. And with these thoughts in his mind, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was walking and coming near to the temple. But his disciples that were walking with him, their thoughts were not the thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ. Their thoughts were centered on the external beauty of the temple that they could see with their eyes. And the Lord Jesus, he was all-knowing. And he could read the minds of his disciples. And he knew every thought of his disciples. And as he was moving away from the temple and walking towards the Mount of Olives, he told the disciples that the temple that they saw, the temple that they were so attracted to, would one day be destroyed. And he said, "See not all these things. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And may I reiterate to you the disciples' questions to the Lord Jesus Christ, asking him concerning the destruction of the temple, concerning his second coming, and also of the end of the world. And since these events were told or foretold by the Lord Jesus Christ, somewhat they would expect answers from him. But the Lord did not tell them when or the exact time and hour that these events would come to pass. However, he gave them signs. And he also told them three parables, one after another. The parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the talents, and the parable of the sheep and the goats. And all these parables and signs, they were meant to impress upon his disciples the certainty and the nearness of his coming and of the end of the world. And the Lord wanted not only his disciples, his immediate disciples in those days, but every disciple in every age and in every passing generation to live with this hope in them of a new world that will be coming to them. A new world that is different from this sin-fallen world that would come after his second coming. And therefore the Lord would say to them in verse 42 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, to watch, and in verse 44, to be ready. He may not have told them the exact hour on the day, but he did tell them to watch the signs of the time. And the signs of the time would tell them how near his coming would be. The signs of the time would tell them how near the end of the world would be. To tell them to be watchful is one thing. And the Lord told them to be ready. And to be ready is to have the right relationship with God before He comes. And the Christian can struggle to have a right relationship with God. To be overtaken, to be carried away by the world, to be consumed by the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves, know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, lest ye be reprobates, are the words of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians. And these words are also words that are meant for us in this generation. And with these very words in mind, and God would have these words to be etched in our minds and in our hearts. And let us move on to consider the parable of the 10 virgins in chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel. And verse 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, He is not an ordinary teacher. He is the master teacher. And therefore no one would preach like Him. And no one would teach like Him. And no one would be able to tell a parable like He did. The parable of the 10 virgins is one of the most well-known, most popular parables in the Gospel that has to do with a wedding. And all of us love weddings, don't we? Because a wedding is a happy occasion, not only for the bridegroom and the bride, but also for the family members, friends and relatives. And the Lord Jesus Christ used a wedding celebration in a parable, because a wedding is something that we are familiar with in the real life situation. All of us know what a wedding is about. And in the past, we attended many weddings. And most of us were best man and bridesmaid in our friend's wedding. But wedding celebrations are different from one culture to another, from one race to another, and from one country to another. We are all very familiar with Chinese, Malay, Indian, and even Eurasian weddings because we live in a multiracial society. But we may not be familiar with a Jewish wedding. And today's Jewish wedding is very different from the Jewish weddings in the days of Jesus Christ or in the Bible times. And I knew very little about a Jewish wedding. And I had to read up a little from this book called Customs of the Bible Times. And it says that a Jewish wedding in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ was a very grand occasion. And it would last for 7 days. And in today's world, a wedding that will last for 7 days will probably be a royal wedding. A wedding for princes and princesses. But in the Bible times, it was a common practice for the Jews. And the wedding in those days that would last for 7 days would tell us that it took much time to plan and to make preparations. And the Lord would use the parable of the 10 virgins as an example to tell us how important it was for the disciples of His to make preparation for His coming. And not only that they might see Him to be the heavenly bridegroom coming to fetch His bride, the church. And in those days, the bridegroom was the most important person in the wedding. All the focus, all the attention would be given to him. But in today's wedding, the bride gets all the focus. And the bride gets all the attention. Do you know that to do a bridal business, or if you own a bridal shop or a boutique, it can be a million-dollar business that will earn a lot of money. Rain or shine, business is as usual. In the good times, the bridegroom would want to have the best suit or tuxedo. But in bad times, he would settle for something cheaper. During recession and when the times are not good. But not so for the bride. She wants to look beautiful, even when the economy is bad. She will not save money to settle with something that is not the best. She wants the best wedding gown and other things that are related to the wedding. She wants to look beautiful because she knows that all the focus and all the attention will be on her. And on the wedding day, everyone will be looking at the bride. On the wedding day, everyone will be talking about the bride and admiring the bride. But it was not so. In Jesus' days, the attention and the spotlight was on the bridegroom. And everyone would be talking about the bridegroom. Everyone would be looking at him. And he was indeed the VIP. Because verse 1 tells us that the 10 virgins came out and went out to meet the bridegroom. And these virgins in the parable were bridesmaids. And they were virgins, a sign of their unmarried status. But above all, the parable wants us to know that it was a sign of their purity and the chastity. Look with me to verses 2 to 4. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Now in the parable were 5 virgins, wise virgins, and 5 foolish virgins. And it is explained to us in verse 3 that the foolish virgins took their lamps and they took no oil with them. But the wise virgins carried vessels or flasks or a jar of extra oil with them in case the oil in their lamps would burn out. Now the marriage custom in those days was such that the bridegroom would go out by night to the father-in-law's house to fetch the bride, his bride. And a grand wedding feast would be prepared for friends and relatives. And this wedding feast and banquet would not start until the bridegroom returned with his bride. And a servant would be outside, not too far from the house, to look out for their return. And when the bridegroom returned with his bride and could be seen from a distance, the servant would run back to the house to inform the guests, and they would all come out on both sides of the pathway with their lamps to welcome the bridegroom and his bride. Their return would be the high point of the wedding celebrations. But before all these could take place, before the guests could come out to the roadway on both sides to welcome the bride and the bridegroom, before the feast could begin, the bridegroom would be on his way to the father-in-law's house to fetch his bride. And the bride would send out her bridesmaids at sunset with lamps in their hands to wait for the arrival of the bridegroom. But in these modern times, things have changed. People are no longer waiting for the bridegroom, but everyone is waiting for the bride. And sometimes the bride would take a long time to come because she's delayed. She may be delayed because she's not too happy with her makeup or her hairdo and have to be done all over again. She can be delayed because she's not happy with her wedding gown and has to send for alterations. And because of that, she's delayed. Now, some time ago, my wife and I, we attended a wedding dinner. And the food was served very late that evening. By any standard, if you're served at 10 or 9:45 at a wedding dinner, it would be very late. And everyone was waiting for the bride to arrive. And dinner would not start until the bride arrived. And finally she came. She arrived. And the guests, they were all aware that she was late. But they were not told why she was late, even after the wedding dinner was over. Now look to verses 5 and 6. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Now in the parable, the bridegroom came at midnight. And if we were to read this verse superficially or casually, it may appear to us that the bridegroom was late. Was the bridegroom late? And if the bridegroom was late, the Lord Jesus Christ would have told us in the parable. Why didn't the Lord tell us what had caused the bridegroom to be late or to be delayed? If the bridegroom was really late. Now, while I was going through this preparation to speak to you this afternoon, I meditated for a while on this verse. And with the Holy Spirit's help, I realized that the bridegroom was not late. The bridegroom could never be late if the bridegroom was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. His first coming was according to God's perfect timing. He was never late at his first coming. And so will be his second coming, according to God's perfect timing. And he will never be late the second time, as he was not late the first time. And he is coming, and he is on his way, but he must come at his own time and on his own terms. And whenever we say that the Lord tarries, it must be understood by us that he is on his way. And it must never be understood that he's late. But if we were to say that he is late, it is as good as saying with the scoffers. And the Apostle Paul, Peter says that in these last days there will be scoffers, saying, "Where is the promise of his return?" And these scoffers, they are also uniformitarians, believing that things have not changed from the very beginning. And therefore, there will be no such thing as the second coming of Christ. There will be no such thing as divine judgment. But the Bible tells us very clearly in the book of Acts that Jesus was ascending to heavens, and angels appeared before the apostles and asked them, "Why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The Lord Jesus Christ, he will be coming, and he is coming. The bridegroom in the parable was not late, and therefore, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be according to God's perfect timing. The Lord did not address anything like that. But he did say in verse 5, "While the bridegroom tarried, all slumbered and slept." Now to stumble or to sleep is to lose focus and to lose patience at the same time. But we may realize one thing, that the Lord did not pick on them for falling asleep, because the Lord, he knew the weaknesses, the infirmities of man. And these virgins who went out at sunset and waited for the bridegroom would obviously be very tired, and because of tiredness and exhaustion of the flesh, they fell asleep. And the bridegroom was indeed a good bridegroom, because he did not pick on them, but he would be moved with compassion towards them. And at midnight, there was a cry made by one of the servants of the bridegroom, who came near and found these virgins sleeping. And he woke them up by his cry at midnight. And they quickly got up to trim their lamps. And to trim the lamps would mean to remove the burnt parts of the torch of their lamps, so that the lamps would shine brightly again. And verse 8 tells us that the lamps of the foolish virgins ran out of oil and turned to the wise in verse 9, and says, "Give us of your oil," in verse 8. And verse 9, the wise virgin says, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Now we may wonder, if any shop in those days would be opened at that hour to sell oil. But anyway, they went. And while they were gone, the bridegroom finally arrived. And in verse 10, we are told that the bridegroom came, and the wise virgins with their lamps that were still burning went with the bridegroom and his bride into the wedding feast. And the door was shut. And verses 11 to 12, afterwards came also the other virgins, the foolish virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open for us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I knew you not." Now by now we should be very clear that the bridegroom came on time. He came on the stroke of midnight. And it is to tell us that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be exact and precise in his coming. And why at midnight is to tell us that Christ's return will be least expected, when everyone is sleeping perhaps. As Peter would put it in his epistle, that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And look to verse 13, the most important verse that this whole parable of the 10 virgins is hinged upon. And the Lord says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." The Bible doesn't focus on the foolish virgins returning with their lamps, perhaps replenished with oil, because the lamb would serve no purpose anymore. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine forth before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." And it is in this world, before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is in the world where we live our earthly life that we must allow our holy life, our holy conversation, our holy nature, and whatever holy attributes that God has endued upon us to be an influence on others that have not known Christ. Like light that would influence, like light that would have an impact on darkness. And God has made us to be lights that we may have an impact on those that are still in spiritual darkness. And the foolish virgins would now be crying out in verse 11, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And the Lord's answer, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not." And the Lord was repeating what he said in chapter 17 of Matthew's gospel to those who professed to know him, but did not have fruits as evidences of their saving faith. And what did the Lord tell these people? Only professing to know him, but in reality they did not know him. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which art in heaven." And the parables of chapter 25, one after another, they are purposed to show us that there are two kinds of people in this world. And it is God's plan of salvation, not only to save those that he has chosen to save, but in his plan of salvation, he would separate his people from those that he has not chosen to save. As we have learned in the parable of the sheep and the goats, and at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, you can be very certain. You can be very certain and sure that the same circumstances will be played out, and there will be a separation of believers from the unbelievers. And for the unbelievers, there shall be gnashing of teeth as they will be cast into utter darkness. But now we are to ask ourselves this question. What determines the virgins to be wise or to be foolish? Now, in any parable of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is only one main point to learn. And what are we to learn in the parable of the 10 virgins? And let me say this, that in the parable of the 10 virgins, the main point that we are to learn has got to do with oil. Oil which is common not only to the wise virgins, but also to the foolish virgins. And in the parable, oil is not just a substance in itself, but it is to represent, or it is a symbol of preparedness and a symbol of readiness on the part of all these 10 virgins. And in the Old Testament days, priests and kings, they were anointed with oil to represent the Holy Spirit's infilling for their service. And oil is also a symbol of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives. And if one has not the Holy Spirit of God in him, he will be shut out of the Lord's presence forever. Like the foolish virgins in this parable, they were shut out of the bridegroom's presence. An oil lamp may look nice, may be expensive, but without oil, it will defeat the real purpose for which it is intended to be. The foolish virgins said to the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Now, brothers and sisters, do you think that you can pass on your saving faith to another person who is an unsaved person? Of course not. Only your personal faith in Christ is all that matters when it comes to the judgment day. And on the judgment day, and at the Bema seat of Christ, it will be a judgment of service of Christians who serve the Lord Jesus Christ while they live in this earth. And I cannot help but to think that the foolish virgins, they were good people. Because nothing negative was mentioned or said about them apart from the fact that they lack readiness. They lack preparedness. It may be a little negligence on their part that we may say, and why should they face such severe judgment from the Lord? Now, in our eyes, there are many people that we may consider to be good people. Our parents, who brought us into this world, gave birth to us. Certainly, they are good people. And our siblings, who share the same parents as we do, they are also good people. Are they not? And children in the church, you may not be one flesh with your parents, but you are parts and pieces of them. And you are, in their eyes, good people. But the Bible says, however good these people may be, however good their works may be, but they will be lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. They will be lost in eternity, and from eternity to eternity and forever, they will be lost. And they will be found in everlasting torment and punishment. Being good in itself is not enough. The foolish virgins, their negligence, their lack of preparations for the bridegroom's coming can be our negligence and our lack of preparations for the Lord's coming. And our Lord Jesus Christ's admonition to us this day to be watchful and to be ready, will it cause us to be aware of those people around us whose eyes are yet to be opened to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And will we be ready to go to them with the gospel? And if we are watchful, and if we are ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, then to be aware of so-and-so's unsafe condition, and to be ready to go to him at all times, or to her at all times, would be a thing that we would do. The Lord is coming, but he will be coming at his own time, at his own will, and on his own terms. And if he tarries, it's because he is not willing that any should perish. And if he tarries, It is among other reasons. It is to test our faith. It is to see if we are ready. It is to see if we are ready and prepared for His coming. But above all, it is to test our faith and our faithfulness to Him. And the parable of the talents that was preached a few weeks ago is about the faithfulness and the unfaithfulness of servants. The parable of the sheep and the goats, about true believers and false believers. And today's sermon on the parable of the 10 virgins is about readiness and unpreparedness. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? You may be saved. You may have this confidence that your name is written in heaven, but you may not be ready. You may not be prepared for Christ's coming. Very often we will quote from the scriptures and from the Bible that a fool is one who says in his heart that there is no God. But we can be the greatest fools if we do not have oil in our lamps, if we are not ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one life that will soon be passed. What is done for Christ shall last. Do you have this aspiration in your heart that it is only one life? And for some of us, it may be the last throw by reason of our age and infirmities. But are you giving your best throw for the Lord? While you still have breath in your nostrils, that you want to serve Him to the best of your ability, to give Him the best. Christ deserves the best because He has given His best to us by laying down His life for us. And God's people, they deserve the best. And therefore, when we serve God, we serve God by serving God's people. And we will, and we must give them, give God's people the best to the glory of God's name. So may the Lord help us that in the days to come, we will serve Him. We will continue to serve Him till He come. And if there's anything to be, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is even at the doors. Let us pray. Eternal God, our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank Thee that Thy people can gather this evening to worship Thee. Lord, the theme for this year, 2011, for the church, "Even so come, Lord Jesus," is to remind us of Thy imminent coming. And what we see around us these days, natural disasters, political turmoil, and above all, Lord, widespread immorality. Our society is already in the likeness of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are obvious signs to tell us of the certainty and the nearness of Thy coming. So help us, O Lord, that we may not be found like the foolish virgins without oil in their lamps. Help us, the oil of the Holy Spirit in us, to continue to serve Thee till the Lord Jesus Christ comes to receive us unto Himself. Hear this our prayer, for we ask and pray in the most blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.